This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Alexa, it's Tony. What was the Villa score?
Earlier today, Aston Villa beat Burton Albion 4-0.
Great!
In the EFL Championship match.
Oh, yeah!
They'll play in the EFL Championship this Saturday at 3 p.m. at home against Bolton Wanderers.
Oh!
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
By Adoma. Aston Villa moving through the gears really nicely. Through it goes to Adoma, who takes it on. And in it goes. Well, he can't stop scoring.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com, and today we are...
Hello.
We are in the Mecca, that is Villa Park, and joining me, replacing the irreplaceable, or so he reckoned, Dan Rogers, is Chris Budd. Welcome, Chris.
Evening. I'm just holding the fort while Dan's off on the international scouting mission.
Well, we're doing a bit of scouting tonight because it's the Aston Villa under-23s versus Brighton under-23s. Who are you looking out for, Chris?
Tonight it's Doyle Hayes in the middle with Lydon, who's, you know, reportedly on his way on loan in January. James Bree is probably the standout sort of senior player on the field. And then Solomon at centre-back, the much talked about under-19s, 18s.
Yeah, no, there has been a lot of hype about him, actually. There's only two players today with double barrel names, which is...
a bit of a letdown.
If anybody was listening to a previous podcast, I'd issued a bit of a suspicion about all these posh double hyphenated names that were suddenly playing for the Villa Academy, and they needed to get back to their working class roots. But they've got it down to two now, so... and that's Corey Blanket-Taylor, who, with that hair, looks a bit of a Keenan Davis Mark II. He's offside at the moment, though.
Yeah, he's rocking the 1990s Tony Daly do without the pace.
And the other guy being Jake Doyle Hayes, who actually I'm kind of looking forward to because he impressed in the League Cup games.
Yeah, he's tidy.
Yeah,
very really, like technically good player and sort of didn't look out of place in the first team. Same with Lydon, who obviously hasn't featured since the infamous relegation season, so it's interesting to see if he's developed.
It was character building, but also at the same time it was emotionally draining. That's why we haven't seen him for a while. He's been in rehab.
He's only human.
But he's only human. The thing about guests on the show or co-hosts is that we normally pluck them from the Holt End.
From obscurity.
Give them a chance. Actually, we spoke when I was first thinking of starting a podcast, I don't know, a couple of seasons ago, a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it must have been. On a frightfully exciting afternoon at Telford.
Yeah.
If I remember rightly.
Yeah, yeah. Good pizza, though, there. That's all I remember.
Domino's at the away end.
That's all I remember of the Telford game. Actually, I asked you to, if you're up for doing the soundtrack to it, but you just kind of fucked me off on that one.
You wouldn't let me sing the theme tune. You don't let me write the theme tune.
That was the problem.
It was the Dennis Waterman problem.
I think Dan wanted to sing it. which
we had creative differences, which, as everyone knows, it's the death of most bands.
And it took about a season to make up.
Now it's time for Twitter with Tony.
September 3rd. Watch Dunkirk. Heard news of North Korea nuclear test. Really need a peaceful world. Fighting on football pitches is enough. September 11th. No matter how everyone feels, we need you go behind the team to create the best VP atmosphere. Thanks to all standing together. September 23rd. A nervous win is a win. The extra practice after sessions pays back, Conor Hourihan. Now, to the next one, all lads. September 22nd. We hope we can make a 90s star team in the near future. Action, not rhetoric. September 26th. Confidence. No more fears for away games. We're in the right direction. On to the next one. Cheers, all lads. Hashtag OTV.
So, Chris, who are you? You're a music man, as I alluded to.
Yeah, I produce under the name Bud. My own artist project with Deadmau5.
All right.
So I sort of do progressive-y, techno-y stuff in between shouting, falling asleep, and generally getting frustrated at Villa Park.
I thought you were more a house man than a techno man.
A bit of both. Yeah, straddle. Straddle both worlds.
You do gigs around Birmingham and beyond.
Yeah, all over the world. The last decade has been spent globe-trotting with Ministry of Sound.
Are you, like, on their roster? Or?
Yeah, I've been global resident for the last, literally, a decade. It'll be a decade this year, actually.
All right, wow.
Since I was a wee lad. And back when Villa were good, dare I say.
Where have you been this year? Anywhere of note?
This year I've actually been off the road. It's been locked away in studio mode, which is why I've been able to actually get to games again. But previously it's been all over the Far East, South America, States, all over Europe, the usual dance music mecca of Ibiza. It's all fun and games.
When's the last time you did Ibiza?
This year was a summer off. So it was last year, it would have been last summer. This year was the give it a rest year,
so
I think.
Like, for example, last summer, typically, how many nights do you kind of play there?
Yeah, I'll normally just fly in and fly out and do it the safe way, otherwise tend to get quite messy. The longer you're there, the more damage you do.
Yeah, yeah. Holt End, is that your...
K4.
K4? Ooh.
Row 10.
Ooh, up
there. The infamous Row 10.
Normally we have lower Holt men on the show, so I don't know if we're moving up in the world. Well, literally we are.
Elevating.
Elevating.
I think things are going upstairs. The next step is the boardroom, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. Right, let's get into the show and start with the 3 points. Point one, first back-to-back win since, do you know off the top of your head, Chris?
April the 1st and the 4th.
Yeah, but that was April Fool, surely.
I think it might have been.
It was against Norwich QPR.
QPR, yeah.
And those were both home games, so we could also match that in terms of back-to-back home wins with a win, obviously, against bottom of the table Bolton.
It should be a formality.
I mean, we'll talk about the Forest game in due course, but we'll just go through the second point, which is Ross McCormack is off to Australia. It's early retirement for Mr. McCormack. Heskey went there, didn't he? Who did he play for? The Newcastle Jets. But normally you do go there when you're like 33, 34 to like play one or two last seasons. But McCormack going at 31, a bit early, which kind of says...
fancies a pint.
Says all you need to know. It's a bit of a shambles, that, as a signing, wouldn't you agree?
I think to begin with, it was an obvious buy for where we wanted to be. He was supposedly the prolific championship striker. Was it 3 years running? 4 years?
Well, I think, as you said, I think they...
And the Villa curse hit him.
They saw the equation of, right, we're paying $10 million for 20 goals.
Which in previous seasons you would have said would have been good business.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, failed miserably.
I mean, you know, I when you break it down in the cold light of day, it was 10 plus million for somebody who was A, 30 years old, B, never played in the Premier League. So if we got promoted the first season or even the second season, he really is not going to feature when you're up there. So it's quite a big outlay. And C, wasn't even in the Scottish team, which we both turned the Scotland team down when they came calling for the last international round. So, but it wasn't my money. That's how I rationalised it.
I don't know where it went wrong. I don't know if it's personal issues or... Well, there was obviously something going on that no one really knew about.
Well, I think as I mentioned before, I mean, I kind of know that he's had, you know, personal problems there. I mean, I don't want to go into it, but it's a couple of things, one related to the other. Obviously, something went wrong. I think the Di Matteo and Bruce switchover obviously had an impact, but Bruce seemed to give everybody a clean slate. I mean, he even gave, like, Mikko Richards and Gabby a clean slate, so... But it all flared up in the first kind of few weeks of Bruce's reign, didn't it?
Yeah, I think he got wind quite quickly of the guys who just didn't have it between the ears.
Yeah.
The guys who didn't have the attitude for what he wanted to do or who weren't going to apply themselves. And from what had come out in the press later in the year, he just wasn't doing it in training or wasn't turning up to training.
Yeah. Did you see that? It was a video of somebody following the Sheffield United manager around on transfer deadline day. He mentioned that... Villa had come knocking, trying to offload several players on, like, huge... I think the figure $50,000 was a week was mentioned. So I think that was Mikko Richards, probably Gabby, and I'm sure that the agent was also trying to get rid of McCormack wherever he could.
I think it's staggering, you know, that you think a lot of these loan deals, you'll do 50% of the wages and you'd still be spending sort of 25, 30 grand on guys who aren't necessarily going to slot into your team and do a job.
Yeah.
It shows how much they're underachieving for the supposed value that they have.
I mean, if you look at our squad and you look at Ross McCormack, Mikko Richards, even Gabby, imagine them if they were actually playing, let's say, 75% of what we expected from them when they first signed. Or in Gabby's case, you know, he scored over 70 goals for Villa. We'd have one hell of a squad.
Well, the depth that you would have, you'd literally have two, three players in every position. It would literally be an embarrassment of riches, especially in the forward positions.
Problem is, we're still in the same position as we were under McLeish and Lambert, where we have players just draining wages out of the club and aren't actually contributing in active. But
yeah.
I wouldn't imagine Melbourne City, where Ross McCormack is expected to turn up on loan, will be playing all his wages. So at the end of the day, I think that's done and dusted now. I can't see, if Villa got promoted, there's no way Ross McCormack's playing for us in the Premier League after what's happened. His best bet is if we don't get promoted, because then obviously Codger and Coke and
mass
the like
exodus.
Will disappear and he might have a role to play, but let's not even think about that. Number three. Well, Mr. Keith Wynas, who... obviously picked up a... Villa almost taking the lead there in the second half against Brighton. Curling it just far of the post. Who was that? Was he?
Sullivan, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah. No, he looked all right, actually. Mr. Wynas, CEO of Aston Villa, after being banned for 2 weeks by the FA for his Twitter action, took on Trump, saying, "Please keep politics and politicians out of sport." This obviously refers to what's happening in the NFL, which all kick-started from Colin Kaepernick, formerly quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, taking a knee at the start of the game when they play the national anthem, not because he wasn't a patriot or a son of a bitch like Trump was making out, but just to obviously express and try to raise the issue of the lack of racial equality in America still, and also what was happening in terms of the police and black citizens of the United States of America.
I think it was another thing of Trump getting involved in something that actually doesn't directly involve him and taking it very personally again. But of course, it does have to be about Trump all of the time.
Well, I think it's strategic. He's obviously doing it for a reason, because it's
for the ratings.
It's like divide and conquer seems to be the policy. You get people against each other because people united you can't really take on. So Trump's obviously preaching to his audience and riling them up, but it's getting a little bit too black versus white for my liking in terms of him being progressive.
I think taking on the entire population of American sport is probably not the way to go about retaining your presidency in the long run.
No, but see what Wynas has done there? He's got politics into podcasts there, into sports podcasts. So by trying
he's
to get it out...
He's instantly been banned from the podcast.
Right, we're banning Wynas from the podcast. 2 years, no mentions. Right, let's get into the Forest game, which in the end was a bit of a thankful win. At half-time, it looked like it was going to be far more comfortable than it ended up, but it's kind of almost traditional at Villa. The first half, under Bruce anyway, can be pretty good, and then his kind of inspirational half-time talks seem to...
Save.
relax everybody into a coma and allow the other team to get right back in it.
Yeah, I think it was the same as last year, the standard let's win ugly every week. Just do the bare minimum, get the job done.
I would like to say it was the half-time soup, but since it ran out...
Denied.
Since it ran out at this under-23s game, we won't be able to pass comment on that. His first 11, is this the first 11 that... are you happy with it?
I think it's close.
And it looks strong. I think
on paper, it's not far off. I think he knows clearly knows his back four and goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Possibly right back, subject to change. I quite like Al Mohammadi.
Yeah,
I think technically he's the best footballer of the group.
He also offers... Ooh, saved by the Brighton keeper there.
Post?
Is it? All right.
Yeah.
Sorry, crap. Nothing to do with the Brighton keeper. He's not that good. I've just derated him. Yeah, the good thing about Elmo is that overlap. You've got Snodgrass, who's naturally left-footed, and so it's useful to have somebody who can overlap and whip it in. And he's probably got the best delivery of all the Villa right-backs at the moment.
I think he's a willing runner as well.
Yeah.
No, he has got an engine on him. He's willing to get up and down the field. And I think that's probably why Bruce brought him in. He knew exactly what he was going to get.
Because in pre-season, he was very direct. When he was playing in his more natural position of winger.
Yeah, he was more advanced, wasn't he?
Yeah. But when he got the ball, the first thing that came to his mind would be to take on the fullback,
rather
than turn around and pass it back, as most of our right-sided players would do normally. Can you see any weaknesses? I mean, my two issues with that first 11, and they're not issues because for me this is at the moment the best that we've got, is the question mark over Wieland versus Jedinak. I think because of Jedinak's international schedule and where he has to fly to, and when he comes back he's always knackered, there's going to be rotation between those two players. They're both, what are they, like, both at least 32 each?
I think so, yeah.
Wieland's 33, yeah. So there's that factor as well. So them, I kind of count them as one player at the moment. And the other thing is just what I alluded to just then with Elmo is Snodgrass and Albert Odomar both playing on wings of their opposite to their best foot. So you've got Snodgrass left foot playing on the right wing, Odomar right foot playing on the left wing. I mean, you know, watching the Forest, this is obviously the second game that they've played together. Do you think playing two wingers on wrong foot is an issue?
I don't think it's an issue if you win. I think Snodgrass is probably, of what we've got on the right-hand side, he's still the senior player. He's obviously brought him into play. He's not brought him here to make up the numbers. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come.
Yeah, I think he's on about 40,000, so at least.
So he's got to be one of the first names on the team sheet.
Well, sorry, he's on 60, but Villa are paying like 40, 45.
Ref. No, I think those two as a pair on the right, they'll grow into their role. And I think Odoma is more natural to play on the left. I think he's much more of a willing runner. I think Snodgrass is very predictable.
Yeah.
You know what he's going to do. Everyone in the ground does when he gets the ball. You know he's going to cut inside. He doesn't really have a right foot, which may be why he hasn't necessarily elevated himself in the Premier League. I think a good fullback will always just show him down the line, and I don't think he's got the right foot to deliver a quality ball.
I mean, my dad always talks about this, is this lack of two-footed players, because he reckons that he was very two-footed in his heyday. But there isn't that many... genuine two-footed players who are getting, you know, there's players out there. Ooh, it's Keystone Kops goalkeeper. The goalkeeper's at the corner flag, the Brighton goalkeeper. An hour gone, still 0-0. Villa transformed in the second half, actually. They're doing all the attacking. But yeah, no, a lot of players who are predominantly one-footed getting paid a lot of money. That's the modern-day game for you.
I think a lot of them are paid to do a very specific role.
Yeah.
And they do that very well, but you don't have these kind of all-round guys who can play multiple positions, of course. Most notably, the utility man of Champions League quality one, Leandro Bacuna, is now ventured elsewhere.
Where are Reading in the league? They're 18th now, so obviously the Bakuna effect has kicked in hard.
He's well and truly dominating.
Reading, playoff team last season, signed Bakuna. Now they're thinking about how they're going to get out of this relegation battle that's ahead. Going back to... A couple of complaints from other fans were like the tempo of the Villa's performance. I mean, for a home game, I mean, Forest were all right, but let's say they're a couple of players short of being a playoff contender. 36% possession. I mean, similar against Barnsley as well, as obviously Keenan Davis has been, you know, used as an out ball, a long ball. I mean, what do you think of like the tempo and also the cohesion? And
I think we don't and haven't for years. We haven't controlled games. That's why I think so often at home, you know, we'll take the lead, but we won't ever push on, or we'll be winning late on. You just think we're not going to... You never fancy us to see the game out. You're always twitchy because we never dictate the tempo that we want to play at. We don't have that guy in the middle of the field who really breaks the game up. We're quite a nice team to play against.
Yeah.
I think that was probably the reasoning behind the Whelan signing, was to have that experienced holding midfielder, but he just doesn't seem to have either the legs at the moment.
I mean, those kind of players, his role, I mean, I look to like Kevin Richardson as a better example. They're players that, I think the cliche term is to keep things ticking, but all he seems to do is trying to break things up.
Now, I think if you look back down the years, fittingly on the night that Barry obviously breaks the all-time record, he's the kind of player that we've lacked for so long. He's that guy who can put his foot on the ball and say, this is how we're going to play. And he'll dominate the game, and he'll dictate the tempo to the opposition. He'll do the ugly things well and the simple things, which we still don't do.
But in the context of the Championship, we'd signed Jedinak, and he was like going to be the main man at Palace. We've got Snodgrass, who used to be the main man at Leeds, Norwich, and Hourihane.
Ooh. Great run by Bocket Taylor.
Yeah.
Should have scored in the end.
Unlucky. Villa, really, they should win this game. Totally control the second half. But yeah, so what I'm saying is we've got some big names at this level. So you think, why aren't they, and Hourihane as well, why aren't they become the main man, almost like the conductor of games?
I think that's the thing we're lacking. I think once we can start really dictating games, I think you'll start to see the best of certainly Snodgrass. I think some of our forward players, I think when Grealish comes back, if we can control games, you'll get the best out of a Grealish. Even a Lansbury, these guys who want to get the ball down and play it along the floor.
Yeah, Grealish comes into play if you're a possession-based team, which we're not. And he's kind of suffered from that, you know, playing on the break. He's not the fastest of guys.
The game just bypasses him, doesn't it? You know, he doesn't want to track back, but he just wants to get his foot on the ball and play, which it doesn't seem to be how we want to play. You know, as you said, we use Davis as the out ball. Codger last year was the out ball. We sort of play quite back to front, which the players we've got, we should be playing through the field, which is what most teams who've come to Villa Park this year have tried to do that. Like Brentford completely passed us off the field.
But Bruce alluded in the post-match press conference after Forest, that now was going to be a time we were going to express ourselves, and last season was all about becoming hard to beat. Oh, there we go.
Great turn.
Is that McCurdy?
Yeah, again.
Hey, looking pretty good.
Doyle Hayes is dominating the midfield again. It's a great ball.
So yeah, Bruce, what do you think about this, making out that last season was all about becoming hard to beat, and this season's now, after he's got this first 11 down, now that we're going to express ourselves? Is he saying that because we've got two easier games coming up, or do you think there's genuine intent?
I mean, I think he has to have intent. He's 7 points off the top. You know, they're just about within touching distance still, but he knows they've got to push on. They know they need a run sooner rather than later. They don't want to get sort of, you know, to sort of...
Because last season when we had a run, but as we said at the time...
too little too late, wasn't it?
It was almost like walking a tightrope. We were scraping through a lot of these games, and you knew we weren't going to... We weren't suddenly playing like Brighton or Newcastle at the time. We could easily have lost any of those games, and this is the problem. We need to win more convincingly, and that comes with dictating games and imposing yourselves on it. At the moment, I think Barnsley difference in that game was in the first half was the two defences. We looked pretty rock solid, and they made two cock-ups because it was a kind of an even game.
Yeah, and they actually played the better football. I think they, you know, they wanted to play.
And Forest, we allowed them straight back in the game, and they could have nicked a draw quite easily if, you know, Sam Johnson again come into our rescue. One bit lucky, the other one in the free.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, what do you think of Sam Johnson?
I like him. I think he's grown into his role. He's definitely getting more confident the more games he plays. I think having Terry with him at the back will help.
Are you comfortable with Johnson?
I think the jury's out to some people. I think he's getting better with games. I think he's still...
Oh,
the woodwork again. Yeah. I think he's growing into his role. I still think he's got a mistake in him.
I think his kicking
still needs to improve. His distribution is still very hit and miss. I mean, I had a save the other night, earned his wages alone. That's what he's there to do.
The free kick one.
Yeah, and I feel very sorry for him, actually, because there's been multiple moments this year and loads last year where he'll have so little to do through a game.
Yeah.
Because of an individual error, he picks the ball out of his net.
Yeah.
And even in pre-season, it was the same. You know, they make one mistake, it leads to a goal, he can't do anything about it. You feel quite sorry for him.
But no, I think he's been pretty commanding. I mean, in terms of having a shop-stopping performance, I mean, the Brentford game was that.
Oh, he had a great game.
That was man of the match, no problem. And then other games where he hasn't had that much to do, like against Barnsley, he did everything that was needed of him and he looked comfortable. And I think he now feels like Robbie feels in himself as a number one now.
I think, as I said, having, you know, he's used to playing with Chester. He's been with him for a while now. I think Terry will obviously help. You know, talk to him throughout the game, and you can see that if you're close to the pitch, you can hear Terry constantly in his ear and in the ears of the other players.
Sorry, I'm just watching Doyle Hayes here. He passes and moves, gives the player he's just passed to an option straight away.
He constantly moves, which you don't normally see,
to be honest, on this pitch.
Well, he just looks really confident, doesn't he? And he wants to get involved all the time. It was the same in the cup game against Wigan.
Even
against Middlesbrough last week when we lost. You know, he was the one sort of real positive to take from an otherwise quite forgettable evening.
Their number 14, Max Sanders, who's just come on, looks pretty good. He just hit the bar 5 minutes ago.
I think they look like the side that went up last year. You know, they're very technically good.
Yeah.
They play really open football. They've got some good players.
Yeah. You know, back in the day, I think Martin O'Neill's day, he had a team built for the counter, solid in defence, and pace to burn up front. So you didn't mind having low possession. But this team, I think it's got the players to... as we say, dictate.
I think you play to your strengths as well, and I think, you know, the side that O'Neill had, you know, you had a young Gabby who was very fast, you had John Carew who was dominant at that period in the air, and you knew you had options on both wings, really. You had a young Ashley Young, you had Downing, you had Milner, you had options all over the field.
One thing I noticed this filler compared to that filler is the wings used to swap around a lot back then.
They did, yeah.
While they're a bit more rigid this time round. Do you think this is something that will... come once this team plays together more?
Yeah, I think once they get that understanding, I think the front four, especially, you know, with sort of Codger, Davis, Snodgrass, Adome, right? I think they know they can move around.
Yeah.
I think Codger will probably find himself a role because it looks like Davis is the sort of the focal point of the attack. Yeah. So Codger's going to almost have to play something in between a number 9 and a number 10. He's going to have to get involved in play a lot more rather than simply be a...
One thing we forgot to mention is, I think, Codger's first pass of his Villa career.
The glory pass.
Beautiful one.
One for the cameras.
Yeah, one for the cameras. Slide rule, I think, is the football
it
term
was GIF
for it.
Worthy.
I think that seems to be his role now. He's playing a lot deeper than, say, Davis, and he brings the ball... Ooh! I mean, we joke about it being his only pass, but I think there was a few where he tried to take on the whole of the Forest defence, which is kind of entertaining, I think, for the fans anyway.
I think it's fun if there's something resembling an end product, people don't mind him wanting to express himself, as there's so many of them who don't. You know, he's not afraid to try things, and I don't think anybody will ever knock him for that. But when there's obviously an easier pass on, you just think it's a really easy ball, just roll him in. It's very frustrating sometimes.
I'm expecting him to, by the time the full whistle blows at Villa Park when Bolton come, I'm expecting him to have scored his first goal of the season by then.
I mean, you'd like to think so. You know, Bolton seem to be the proverbial whipping boys this year. You kind of would hope that we come out and really take the game to them and use it as a statement of intent. You know, we've got a lot of guys who want to play attacking football. You've got a team who are very low on confidence and really a poor side.
As you would have gathered, because we are recording this at the Villa versus Brighton under 23 games, it's before we play away at Burton. Oh, ah, it works. I've just used a teleportation gun a la, like, Rick and Morty, and I'm now in a post-Burton game future. I just need now to summon Dan Rogers from the Villa Underground. Just one moment. He's like you're born again.
It's a dramatic entrance. You join me in the future. Or the past.
Just left Chris Budd at Villa Park watching... Well, he's frozen now. He was watching the under-21s against Brighton, which was 0-0.
Oh.
What he doesn't know is at Villa win that game 1-0. But we'll go back there later on. I'm not going to tell him the score. I'll just play along and record the rest of the show. But yeah, anyway, Villa 4-0 against Burton.
What a cruise.
Who saw that coming?
Us.
The blitz, Craig. Well, we did, yeah. We knew that, as we've been saying, look, guys, none of this mass hysteria, guys, none of this, like, Bruce out just yet. I mean, we're not the biggest Bruce fans, but the best chance for Villa, the quickest chance for Villa to get promoted...
Yeah, maybe not sacking him.
It's not sacking him after three games or doing this game-to-game ultimatum. I mean, look at it. He hadn't had a chance to play his first 11 until very recently. Kodja coming back, Snodgrass just signed and obviously needed a couple of games to get rolling. And after three games, the same team has started. And a team that in the last show or the show before we heralded as finally Bruce has got a first 11. Three games, three wins.
I mean, all those things that you've just said have come together. And context is very important because there are some people trying to force a narrative or an agenda of their own.
Yeah, unfortunately on like social media you've got some people on their own ego farts, or like if they don't like Bruce they just keep going regardless of what's happening. Anyway, sorry.
Well, but we've prided ourselves on trying to, you know, play through the fake news and, you know, let's deal with facts. We've just won 4-0 at a bit of a canter away. Granted it's only at Burton, but yeah, it's a team that we couldn't do on their pitch last season. We're 4 points off second, so we're eighth now. 7 unbeaten, 9 goals in 3 games. That's consecutive away wins. Yeah, you know, you got other... It's good stuff, it is.
Negatron alert. The season's away goals have been used up in one game. Recall McCormack! Recall McCormack!
No, this team's only played 3 games together, so they're going to get better and they'll start playing better. Well, hopefully. It's kind of the nature of football, but I mean, compare it to last season away at Burton. We started well then, and Kodja, who was our only goal outlet, scored, I think it was after the 3rd minute, but that game ended at 1-1, and Burton were pretty tough to crack. I think before this game, they'd 1-2, drawn 1, lost 1 at home. I think they beat the Blues and beat Fulham. So, not an easy game. And one distinct thing is last time Kodja scored the goal, and he was the only way that we could score last season. This time, all the other boys, there's goals right through the team, apart from Kodja, ironically.
But interestingly, two of them were loan players as well. And I've often said, well, it's no secret. I think anyone who's watched the Villa for any length of time will know we've had some absolute duffers on loan to Villa over particularly the last 6 or 7 years.
Jermaine Genus has always been my favourite.
Genus sticks in my mind. There's a whole
legend.
He was the guy who fell over the sprinkler and cost us about £600,000, wasn't it, for nothing?
Yeah.
In wages. I mean, just fast forward to the here and now, the future. You know, got players like Snodgrass coming into the team, and game by game he looks sharper and more.
Man of the match against Burton.
You know, played really well, and we're starting to see him properly sharpen up game on game, I think, and throw into the mix as well Anoma. So, you know, you've got a young, promising, up-and-coming player for Spurs who, I've said before, he looks like he could really go on to be a top player. But, you know, we can use him this season.
I think he's very much Villa's 12th man. I mean, to use the phrase, which is meant to be the crowd. But we have that first 11, but he's somebody who can actually play in that first 11 or is a very useful sub because he does offer you straight away energy, but also directness. So either he comes on for a forward to kind of, you know, shore up shot, or he comes on also to push for if you need a goal.
Just taking the final part of the Burton game, you know, he's on the pitch for 2 minutes, he's breaking behind Hogan, the ball gets squared and he lashes it home. That's exactly what we need.
It was a great ball before that from Snodgrass to Hogan, actually, that set Hogan away. And that's finally, if we've got a player that actually can actually see the runs of Hogan, that would be a massive bonus.
Exactly. exactly. I mean, I said to the guy sitting next to me at the weekend that Snodgrass a little bit reminded me of when Petrov first came to Villa, and I'm not going to make comparisons to players, like they're very different players, but Snodgrass was trying to make the types of passes that Petrov was trying to make when he first came to Villa, and they weren't coming off for different reasons at the time. But you've got a player there who expects to be able to make that defence splitting pass, or you know, take the set piece and score from it, or create something from it, and that's good because he's got confidence, and you know, that extends to other players. I thought Al Mohammed, he had another good tidy game, and he's a player who has come under some scrutiny very early in his Villa career, but you know, 2 games, 2 assists now, and that says it all for me.
And Taylor had the most touches of the ball in the left back position, and he got forward a lot as well, noticeably more than previous games, which for an away game is encouraging. So I think that back four is pretty solid now, and both of those fullbacks, although Elmo on the right side you'd expect to get forward, Taylor's also beginning to kind of offer a little bit more going forward as well, and both seem to be defensively sound, which has been an issue with Villa fullbacks over the last few seasons.
Well, Elmo's an obvious upgrade on Hutton for me, who I think has traded off sentiment for too long, and you know, I'd never question the guy's effort, but I've always been very much in favour of let's go with players that have got some quality, you know. And Al Mohammed, he's delivered 2 balls into the box that Hutton's never delivered, you know.
Yeah, and Davis's goal that got the party started was actually very similar to his one against Barnsley,
but virtually kind identical, really.
Yeah, header on the edge of the 6-yard box,
great header,
powered in.
Yeah, I love that. Really old fashioned.
Yeah, what I used to call a Jan Kola header, where you just kind of puts his head back and then oosh.
I mean, there was no stopping it, and a very satisfying header as well, wasn't it? And I do like Davis, and it's a nice problem to have, isn't it? That we've got this unexpected youngster who's, I mean, essentially cemented himself. I think that's his 8th consecutive game, or 7th or 8th consecutive game.
I think he's like a linchpin. He brings, he allows you to play Codger in a 2, and he also brings in the midfielder. Sorry, the midfield. I mean, Hourihan was impressive in the fact that he was playing really box to box, and he broke up a couple of their attacks, especially in the second half on the edge of Villa's penalty box. So that, if Davis has got the ball, it gives Hourihan just that little bit more time, and also Snodgrass to kind of get involved and obviously link up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other man on the side, who probably when he was told, all right, Albert, you're going to have to play left wing, probably had a few reservations about that, but he's been a revelation in that position, because he allows it, as we said last time, he does come in.
Yeah.
He's sometimes more central than Codger when either Snodgrass or Elmo's got it on the right-hand side. He cuts really in central rather than linger on the back post as most people coming from the left side when the ball's on the right side would do. He comes in very central. He's obviously sniffing for a goal and playing as almost like an auxiliary striker.
And his form is so much better than last season as well, that, you know, I think he came in for some justified criticism because he was delivering assists, but he was woefully inconsistent. This season, he's just got better and better and better to this point. And I think against Burton, the best example was the fantastic second goal, where he starts the attack from very deep inside our own half. There's great interplay between Hourihan, Davis, Snodgrass, and in that time, Adoma's made up more than half the length of the pitch to be, you know, making the run in between the final defender and running onto the ball and finishing. But the threat he carries, I mean, he's the third top goal scorer in the division now. The assists as well speak for themselves. Guys, and I wouldn't want to be facing him. He's an absolute nightmare.
No, it's all good. I mean, in the game, Villa, one of the first games for a while, they haven't actually had 30% possession or around 30%. It was a bit more even this time. I mean, even the shots, it was 10 each. Obviously, Villa, 5 shots on target. And converted 4 of them, so a lot more lethal with their finishing.
What do you make of possession? Because, you know, I think just over the last 5, 6, 7 years, we've had the Lamberts and the O'Neills and now the Bruces and co. Is possession something that we can really even interpret it against? Because I'm not.
If you know how your team plays, like if Villa are a possession-based team and we control games, which is something we still do not do, and we're in the future now. I think we talk about this on the podcast when we get back to Villa Park in a few minutes. I think we do.
Shut up in that case.
If my memory serves me right. But yeah, if you control a game, then you obviously expect possession. And if that's, I don't know, I think we talk about it. In terms of, we were averaging around, let's say, high 30% of possession, yet we have a team that's full of star players for the championship. And that's where it doesn't quite add up. I mean, when Martin O'Neill had a team which was set up for the counter, and you looked at the statistics on possession, you thought, well, okay, we're on 40%, but that's because that's how we play.
Yeah.
So it's a bit kind of weird here because, as we've seen, I mean, these score lines, 4-0 against Burton, 3-0 against Barnsley, these are the type of score lines I would expect Aston Villa, after the money they've spent, to start chalking up against opposition that haven't had the same resources or cash to play buy players. Newcastle and Brighton, they did run through a few teams last season.
Yeah, absolutely.
So possession, if we're in the Premier League and we're battling to keep our head up against water, then I understand possession being low if we have a system. But I think we should have a little bit more control. Or so I say later on in this podcast anyway. But every game we go up one place. What I can't understand is how Nathan Baker's Bristol City keep staying above us. They're into some decent form at the moment, so see how long they last.
Yeah, they are.
Sheffield United are doing pretty decent as well.
Yeah, I mean, they turned Wednesday over, didn't they? Yeah. I have to say the next couple of fixtures are set up very tastily indeed. I mean, we've got the... Is having Bolton at Villa Park, is it at our peril with them being firmly rooted to the bottom? Do you know the game I'm actually quite excited about now, though, is that the Wolves game being on the horizon?
We've spoken about this. Oh, okay. We don't have to go into detail about anything else because we're just here to talk about the Burton game. You can go back to whatever you were doing and I can teleport back to Villa Park. But first of all, so Dan, just a quick one before you go. Do you want to enter the Football Supporters Federation Awards for this year for Best Club Podcast of the Year?
I think we should. It would be rude not to.
We're not going
to
win, people out there. But if you guys can get us nominated, then at least that helps spread the word and some Villa fans will go, oh, that's nominated, so that must be a decent enough listen. We'll leave the link in the description of the podcast and also we'll put it out on the social media channels at Aston Villa Pod. It will appear there somewhere. You can also vote at the Football Supporter Federation Awards for other categories like Men's Player of the Year, Away Day of the Year, Blogger of the Year. Vote David Michael, myonmanset.com. I think you can choose your top three, so you know where to put Dan. outside the top three.
Just looking, they don't appear to have a category for me.
Also, like Newspaper of the Year, Pundit of the Year, etc., etc. There will be a link, so give it a go. And if we get in there, then we can all club together, buy a table. Where's the awards? It's at the Tower of London, and we can all hang ourselves.
Oh, that would be good.
But Villa are doing well now, so maybe this is the wrong venue. It would have been the perfect venue last year, or the last 2 years, to be honest.
At least they read our feedback forms, if nothing else.
Anyway, we'll leave that one with you. Thanks in advance. And if you enjoyed the show, do drop us a comment as well on Twitter. Anyway, enough of this. I need to get back to Villa Park because Chris is sitting there in suspended animation. So where do you want me to teleport you back?
The Champions League final, please. Aston Villa versus...
Oh, you want to go in the future?
It's only 2 years. Future. It's not far from now. Tony Jarre, I promise. Could it be the moment where Birkir Bjarnason scores the winning goal?
All right, okay, I'll send you there.
Goodbye.
Right, I'm going back to Chris Budd. There's a saying in football, well, in the last 5 years of football, when you really need a win, who's the best team to play? It's normally Villa. But I think Bolton, they're so far gone that I think even we can turn up at Villa Park and we've got to be beating them comfortably, surely.
You would think.
In terms of Bruce's first 11, that would be the fourth game. They should start to gel, and you know they'll be looking to blow Bolton out. Surely.
I mean, I think you've got to fancy us to come and play on the front foot. You know, depending on how we do midweek at Burton, you would think they should be full of confidence. You know, you want to play like a team who is at home to bottom of the table. You know, with the sort of the firepower we've got going forward, we should be causing them damage. And I don't see in the Bolton side anyone who's going to cause the likes of Terry Chester problems.
They're only 2 points have come away from home, so that seems to suggest they do have that plan, probably park the bus, 2 banks of 4, and they'll try to frustrate Villa.
Which traditionally we frustrate ourselves pretty well, so it could be a long afternoon, but I think going into the international break, Villa have got to look to however you need to do it, just get the job done now.
Yeah.
We'll come out of this week, you know, the 7 day period with 9 points would be considered a really good week.
Yeah, four wins on the bounce,
and you'd say we're kind of back on track. Depending on other results, you'd think to win the next 2 back-to-back, you should be back in the top 6.
Yeah.
Suddenly the season starts from here, really. into a hard month in October.
Into the was only three games, but it's two away derbies against Wolves and Birmingham. So
and then Preston as well.
Those two derbies could go anyway, but I'd be expecting 6 points from that. I mean, the Wolves game will probably be the game of the month, if you can say that, above the Blues, because I don't think the Blues would have got their act together yet.
I think the Wolves game, certainly on paper, is the first of what you'd call the big games, like against somebody who you'd think come May is going to be there or thereabouts as well. You know, they've spent their money wisely. It's a really good test. Probably the first test of the season to really see where we're at in comparison to the teams around us. Lots of Wolves and Leeds you would think are going to be there. Cardiff looks strong, but they may fall away. But I think those two especially, they're going to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, I think both of those teams have got intentions of promotion.
You know, they've both bought really well. Yeah. And I think they'll be looking to treat the game the same as we will.
Yeah, so I think October's when the season starts, so to actually get into it on the back of four wins,
I think by the end of
top six, I think we'll be very close to the top six if we're not in it by the international break.
Yeah, and I think people will know by the end of October, having gone to Wolves and Blues and Preston, who look tidy. You would think you'll have a really good gauge of where we're at going into the Christmas period, where that could be pivotal. I think really with the side we've got though moving forward, Villa will look at keeping the momentum going, knowing that once they click, they could really go on a run in the second half of the season.
Because we've spoken about this first 11. What have you been thinking about Josh and Omar?
I think similarly to...
Because I like him. I think he's direct. He gets his playing on the front
foot. He's everything you'd expect of a kid who's come through Spurs Academy. You know, he's technically very good. He's very strong, very athletic. I think it's Bruce's problem will be finding the role that's going to work for him. As I said earlier, when you've got Grealish back, Hourihane as well, you're going to have three guys who all want to play in the same role.
Yeah.
I think, unlike the others, I think he can be a more traditional midfielder.
Because what Bruce did against Forest, obviously he was protecting the league, but he brought him on for a striker, brought him on for Codger, I think.
To close the game out.
Which suggests that if we play at a Leeds or Wolves, do you think he'll go 4-4-2 at Wolves?
You'd like to think he's going to be positive.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you're playing a Whelan or a Yedinak, you know you've got that extra man to sort of give the back four a little bit of cover, but you've still got it, should have enough going forward to take the game to teams, especially with the likes of Davis and Kodji. You know you don't have to play through the field too much. Yeah. We can play on the break a little bit more away from home.
We're actually creeping up to full time here. And before we go, what's your assessment of the game? Villa, sorry, we missed the goal actually, but it's 1-0. We didn't miss it, we saw it, but we didn't record it. Good finish by the captain, Jordan Lydon.
He looks to be on his way out of the club come January if reports are to be believed.
Could be his parting gift. Who's impressed for you?
I think Doyle Hayes.
Yeah, like
again,
him.
He looks a really tidy player. He's technically the best player on the field.
Yeah,
I think, you know, he gets his head up, looks up, picks a pass, doesn't give the ball away, which can't be said for a few of the guys in the first team. I think Lydon's put a shift in, as he always did when he was in the first team, to be fair. I think the real sort of, is it a surprise, but Bree hasn't really stood out.
Completely forgot about him.
Yeah, he doesn't stand out. He's not one of these guys who's like sort of physically dominates or...
Although it's funny you say that. I remember we recorded this podcast here at Villa Park for, I think it was Villa Celtic, and I think there was like Elphick, Gabby, Tishbola, and none of them stood out either. And it was an under-23s game. I think actually that was the first ever Villa podcast to be recorded at Villa Park.
This one could be the last.
But I think the first ever podcast to be recorded at Villa Park was Bradford City. Those guys, I forgot what the show's called, but pretty funny guys.
That's a great run.
Oh,
that's unlucky.
Yeah, so Brighton player just beat about three Villa players there.
And I think Sullivan's actually stood out as well tonight. He looks a really assured centre-back. I think he's going to be another one who's sort of knocking on the door come May. It's just whether he gets the chance.
He actually went close in the first half, almost scored. So he looks good on the ball as well.
Yeah, I think he's obviously, he featured heavily for the England under-19s and 18s in the summer.
I mean, he looks quite slight for a
centre-back.
I think he's more of a footballer, isn't he?
Yeah, he really wants to get down and play, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which is rare for...
There you go.
Yeah, he's pretty, really composed.
Yeah, very composed. He just took it off the winger, but instead of just hoofed it, he would suddenly look like he had all the time in the world. Very composed. Doyle Hayes, was chatting about this at half-time. Do you think he's got the physique? to carry on? Or I mean, was he 18? So he's still got time on
his
side.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to.
He's one of those players that looks like a teenager.
Yeah, he's kind of, you know, he's fine when he's got the ball, but you just look at him and think he's not going to knock anybody off the ball in the first team.
Yeah.
Which for the position he plays, he's going to need a bit more physical presence.
So you look at somebody like Stephen Davis, who Martin O'Neill probably thought the same thing. That he didn't have that kind of, you know, physique. But he went on to be like a top man at Southampton and, you know, captain Northern Ireland team in a European championship. So
I mean, traditionally we do get it wrong.
Yeah. When we get it wrong, we get it wrong.
No, Cahill.
Exactly.
And others.
But I think Doyle Hayes has definitely got a career in front of him. But I think he will need Villa to, what we were talking about earlier on, play a bit more possession-based football, because he's somebody who could keep it ticking, and he plays quite deep as well. So he could be the man we're looking for in that department.
I think he's just going to need, like, you know, like a few of the lads do, they're all going to need an opportunity, and they're going to need games. And I look at how Bruce wants to set the team up this year and the players he's bought, and he really doesn't want to take any risks. And I don't think he knows he can't afford to as well. And I think this year, if he has a run anything like they had last year in January, February, I think he knows he'll be out on the scrap heap, really.
Yeah.
So he needs to get it right this year.
Yeah, I think if he didn't win Barnsley and Forest, there would be a different scenario going on at the moment.
Yeah, I think after the back-to-back nil-nils at home in a week, I think the fans' patience, as he talks it about hysteria, was running thin. Not only the results, but obviously the performances and the lack of signs of improvement, really, after a year.
Good thing about these under-23 games is you don't have to knock off early to beat the traffic, because there is no traffic. Still, there's more here tonight than there was against Middlesbrough in the League Cup. Wouldn't you agree?
Empty seats, my lord.
And on that note, don't forget, if you want to support the show, become a My Old Man Said patron. Go to myoldmansaid.com. And you'll find all the details there on the menu bar. Just click on Patreon. But until then, thank you very much, Chris, for joining me on this probably the last...
Mild?
Yeah, it's probably the last mild evening fixture that we'll get at Villa Park. But until next time, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
My old man said...
Negatron alert!
Villa winning the championship is papering over the cracks. Prepare for Premier League relegation. Prepare for Premier League relegation.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.